Well, good morning, everyone. It's so nice to be here today, and we survived the gale force winds between here and London to get here, and to those joining us in the Zoom room, welcome as well. Friends, let me begin today by thanking you for allowing me to share God's Word with you as a guest preacher. I love the opportunity to sit under God's Word and to block out the noise of this world, and to hear what God is saying to us each and every day. No worldly news, no news from CNN or Fox or CBC or MSNBC, just the good news of our Lord Himself. And I have to tell you, if the past 2 years hasn't already caused enough anxiety in your life, all you really have to do if you want to amp up your anxiety is watch the news for 10 minutes and you'll be on fire, but the wrong way. Seriously, I don't watch much news. I have no problem finding enough troubles to worry about all by myself, so that's good. One only has to access social media where we can find a million and one things to stress about, controversies that divide and separate us from God and each other. And just when I start thinking to myself that, you know, perhaps I've got a few things figured out in my own Christian walk, God quickly sends me a reminder. He sends me a reminder that I'm just simply a work in progress, as we all are. I trust I'm not the only one feeling that way today. With everything going on in our world and all the fear-mongering and those things that divide us, we need to remind ourselves daily that God directs every step we take. God directs our steps. And before I get into God's Word, would you bow with me in prayer as I ask humbly for His guidance? Father God, we thank You that You're good, always good, even when life doesn't feel so good. We thank You, Father, for Your unconditional love and Your care for us in every circumstance. You are sovereign, and we know that through You, all things work together for good. And today, Lord, we lift up Pastor Pat as he travels parts of the world where You've walked. Oh, what a blessing and what an honor that is. And Father, we pray for Pat's safety during his travels and that You would send an army of angels to protect him during this time. May his spirit be renewed for You by this visit, and may he return safe to us, rested and in good health. Help us, Lord God, to see past our fear, past our anxiety, past our worry, and to cast our eyes on You at all times. Oh, break me, God, of myself, and allow Your words to do a work in each one of us today as we get set to open Your holy word, and I pray You'd give us ears to hear what needs to be heard from You and to prevent us from hearing anything that is not of You. And I ask this in the precious and beautiful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles today, please turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And get ready to be amazed. Be amazed. Perhaps some of you are thinking to yourself, oh yeah, the storm in the sea. I know you've heard that story, and many of you could probably recite it by heart. And you're asking, what's so amazing about that story? Well, I thought that way too until I heard Pastor Jim Fain. He's a biblical counselor and a pastor of a small church down south. Until I heard Pastor Jim tell the story, and then I was amazed. I too was amazed. Here's a fact that my wife, who's with me today, Cindy, she'll concur with. I'm a broken sinner. I'm a broken sinner in need of a Savior and in need of hope. But this story certainly put the precarious times that we live in perspective and gave me hope. I pray that it will do the same to each one. So let's read. Jesus calms a storm. On that day, when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Just stop right there for a moment and think, if God came to you right now and said, "Get in the boat, we're going to the other side," what would you think? Where would your mind go? Verse 36, "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him." Other boats were with him. Remember that as well. Verse 37, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he woke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Loved ones, I intentionally entitled this message, "On the Other Side." On the Other Side. And it's for a good reason, because it's a place most of us are uncomfortable with. So, and many of us are just in the process of going to. The other side is that place that can bring us to the mat spiritually, and it can challenge every fiber of our being. It's the place we need to prepare to be at throughout our life, because guess what? We all end up there. There's three takeaways that from this story that I would like to leave with you today. There's probably many more, but I'm not that intelligent. I was only able to find three. The first is this, that God tells us we're going to the other side. That's what Jesus did to his disciples. He said, "Hey guys, we're going to the other side." And when God speaks, I've discovered something. Things happen. Great things happen. This wasn't just a lesson for the disciples either. Remember I said, listen to verse 36, and other boats were with him. Other boats were with him. How many times, and I think many of you can relate to this, we've probably all been in church a long time, but how many times have you read this piece of scripture and failed to even think about the other boats? I've read that verse over and over and over again until Dr. Fain talked about it. I never thought about that little phrase, "and the other boats." Other boats that were also on the sea. There were many of them, likely. Loved ones, that's important, because you and I are those other people in those other boats, facing the same challenges that Jesus and his disciples faced throughout our lives. It seems to me that for the most part, life moves along relatively smooth, but then without notice, you find yourself in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a storm. If you're in God's Word regularly, you know this has been so since the beginning of time. Job 14:1 tells us, "Life is full of trouble. So why should it be different for us?" John 16:33, Jesus said, he tells us to expect tribulation. Expect it. Yet why, when we get that phone call from the doctor with bad news, or perhaps you find out your spouse has cheated on you, or you get that news that your job has become redundant, our faith is challenged and we ask, "Where is God in all of this? Where is he? How could this happen to me?" Loved ones, none of our life events is a surprise to God. Not one thing. He's not sitting up there on those clouds with his feet nicely pressed on his throne and his stool, sitting there "Oh, that caught me off guard." No, not for God. He's in charge of everything. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." And oh boy, there's a lot of invisible that we don't see. "Whether thrones, powers, or rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him," for God himself. Loved ones, that verse alone is another sermon, but it gives us assurance today and proof today who is in control and is on the other side. It's not you. It's not me. It's not any government leader. Sorry, Mr. Trudeau. It's not a king or a queen. It's not a celebrity or anyone else. It's God himself who said in Mark 4:35, "Let's cross to the other side." God is in charge. And there is some hope for each one of us this morning. From the day that we were born, God has been telling each of us that we're going to the other side. It's not an option. It's not something to be taken lightly. It is our destiny. I presided over numerous celebrations of life, and it is our destiny, and I share that message with people gathered at funerals. That is our destiny, to be with God. A second take home is this: it's going to be tough, either on the other side or getting to the other side, and it's going to challenge our faith like never before. If you don't think trials will bring us to our knees, just take a look at those wonderful disciples of Jesus Christ. Here we have lucky men who have been hanging out with Jesus for several years at this point. They've been with him all the time. One would think they would be more spiritually mature than most of us. They had front row seats to Jesus' amazing power. They witnessed one miracle after another miracle after another miracle. They saw a blind man see, they saw the lame walk, and they saw a dead man rise from the dead. First-hand experiences. Given the fact that they had that front row seat to Christ's miracles, one would safely assume that they would have no reason at all to be afraid, because guess who was in the boat with them? Jesus. Jesus himself was in the boat. But what happened? Well, we've heard that there was a storm that happened. Not just a little storm, it was a tempest of a storm. In verse 37, Mark refers to it as a fierce storm. Just imagine it, waves crashing over the bow of this boat, water filling inside. I don't know about you, but I've been on a few cruises, and if that happened, I would be a little bit scared. I'm not sure what kind of a boat you're thinking of. I think I have a picture of it in the next slide. But these weren't the ultra-safe, comfortable triple-hulled fishing boats that we have today with bilge pumps and GPS. No, no, no. These were tiny little wooden vessels. They measured 27 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.3 feet high. They were powered by sails, and I'm guessing they didn't come equipped with approved life vests. The next slide, Mary. The Sea of Galilee, or Lake Kinneret, as translated in Hebrew, it wasn't that large either. It was only 21 kilometers long, 13 kilometers wide, a depth of 43 meters. In fact, most visitors to the area are quite surprised that you can see the shoreline from any vantage point. You can see right across to the other side from any vantage point. So how could a tiny freshwater lake be so dangerous? Well, it's the sea's location that makes it dangerous. Makes it dangerous, subject to violent storms. The cold air being heavier drops, warm air rises, and the sudden change can produce those surprisingly furious storms that we talked about in Matthew 8:24. So back to the story, and what is Jesus doing in the middle of this storm? What is our Lord himself doing in the middle of this storm? Do you remember? He's sleeping. Like me at church on Sunday, sometimes. He's sound asleep. He's sawing logs. I can just imagine him sound asleep on a pillow, on the cushion, completely exhausted from a long day of preaching, and not a fear in the world. Jesus wasn't afraid at all. I would have been. The same can't be said for his students, the disciples. They immediately forgot about the safety that they have in the power of Jesus Christ. And they opted to become overcome with fear, with worry, and with anxiety. Oh, the level of fear became so overwhelming that they started to yell at Jesus, accusing him of not caring. He said, "Do you not care?" Fearing they were about to drown. I would suggest that many others on that lake, in those other boats, were also fearing the same thing. They were fearing death. Now, it's my hope and my dream that one day I would have the faith of John Newton. Does anybody in here know who John Newton is? Some people are nodding their heads. That's good. That's good. He's the author of the song Amazing Grace. Go back to the 1700s for that song. He wasn't a disciple. He wasn't anything special or unique. He was a slave trading captain of a ship. But he had a quality in him that I covet myself. His ship was also caught in a tempest of a storm. Waves were crashing over the bow, and there was a huge hole in the hull of his ship. His ship was going down. It was going down. Like the disciples, he too feared, but instead of asking Jesus if he cared about his well-being, John Newton, believing in God's power, he cried out and asked God to be saved from that perilous evening. And as we all know, he was saved. He went on to pen many other beautiful hymns, and he became an Anglican preacher. He wrote 280 songs. If I'm being truly honest, when trials come my way, I'm more like the disciples instead of Captain Newton. But I love John Newton's love for God, his belief in God's sovereignty. When bad news comes, when the bottom falls out of our life, which at some point, when that major trial, be it death, comes for us, what will our reaction be? What will our faith look like on that day when we or someone we love is called to the other side? Will we be able to accept the journey with faith and confidence? Will we cry out to God for our strength or lean into our old ways of handling things our way and turning away in fear? That's a big question. Listen carefully, loved ones, and I'm preaching to myself today. Storms in life have the ability to bring to the surface what's really inside of us. They reveal whether we live by fear or whether we live by faith. Trials tell us if our heart is full of trust or if it's full of doubt. How we react to God in a storm reveals the truth about ourselves. Friends, storms are a test. And Scripture tells us to expect them, to train for them. Romans 12:12 tells us to be patient in trials. And then 1 Peter 5:10 promises to restore us. When? After you have suffered a little while. And again, John 16:33 tells us, you will have tribulation. Then, just to add a little bit more confusion to our own trials that we endure, we have that really funny gospel writer, James, who tells us in James 1:2, "Oh, count it joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds." Really? Really? Count it as joy? I've spent 31 years as a police officer, and prior to that, 5 years as a paramedic, and never once have I gone up to someone who lost someone and said, "Oh, yeah, and by the way, count it all as joy." I think I would have been fired. But that, my friends, is exactly what we're supposed to learn and then do when we're confronted with trials on the other side. You see, this story isn't a story about a storm at sea. It's about a storm within us, within each one of us. You've got that storm and I've got that storm. It's the fight between the temporal world and the eternal world, one with God. This story is a reminder to us that as Christians, 2 Timothy 2:3 says this, we share in suffering as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. We're going to share in suffering here on earth. When we're in trial, it's easy to think that God doesn't understand how bad it is. How many times have I raised my voice and said, "Lord, do you not get it? Have I had enough? I guess it's because we're like his disciples, that we forget that Jesus Christ is part of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you need proof that Jesus is 100% human, one only has to look at this story. There he is in the boat, in the middle of the storm with his buddies. Yet, what we really need to remind ourselves of, and we need to remind ourselves, I need to remind myself this every day, Jesus is 100% God. He is God as well. Go to the next slide for me, Mary, if you mind. Unlike the rest of us with weak faith, Jesus, from the beginning of time, always knew what awaited him on the other side. He knew. Fully obedient to God to the very end is evident in the words that he taught us to pray toward his Father, where he says, "Your will be done." Jesus wasn't afraid of this storm or any other storm. He knew the ending. He knew how it ended. Let that sink in for one moment. He knew the ending, but the best part is, he has shared that information with us. He shared the ending with us in God's Word. Storms are a test. That brings us to the mat. Remember that. That's my second point. My third point, takeaway today, is that God is present in every storm. He's always there. Storms also happen suddenly and without notice, as we see in verse 37. You could be driving along the road today, minding your own business, and somebody blows a stop sign. There is a storm. You go home, your home's on fire. There's a storm. I'm always a worst-case scenario guy. But there's a lot that awaits us. Did Jesus know that the storm was coming? Yep. He knew it was coming as well. See, the storm was part of a lesson for the disciples, and by that, for us. Jesus was going to use it to teach them and today teach you and me some things about himself and about themselves. Storms test our spiritual maturity. Storms cause us sometimes to doubt God, and none of us are exempt. I don't know about you, but just as I said, when I think I'm growing spiritually, God sends me a clear reminder that I'm a broken sinner and that I'm so in need of him. I'll give you some proof. I recently went on a vacation a few weeks ago. My wife, my son, and his wife, we got to the London airport around 3:30 in the morning to board a WestJet flight, only to have an attendant meet us at the gate and say, we couldn't get a crew from Toronto, so the flight's been canceled. So after suggesting that we wait for a bus that may or may not arrive, we decided to pack our luggage back into my truck and drive to Toronto. So far, things are looking okay. But near the Guelph line, that dreaded yellow warning light that all men and women fear on the dashboard showed up, telling me that I had a flat tire. But it wasn't just a flat tire, it was a blowout. That's when my storm, became a perceived hurricane in my life. Time was running out. I'm not sure what hit me, but let me just say this, that while standing on the shoulder of the 401 covered in road grime after crawling underneath my pickup truck, I suddenly realized that this wasn't my best Christian moment. Mm-mm. My only saving grace was that there were no roosters yet awake, so I didn't have to hear one of them crow three times. I failed the test. I blew up. I was fearful, full of anxiety, and just like the disciples in this story, immediately, as my wife would attest to, my mind went to worst case scenario. What I didn't do properly is believe and trust in God in that moment. The one true God that Mark is talking about in our story today. Like the disciples in the boat, I feared not getting to the other side, the airport. That was my other side that day. My mind immediately went to, why me? What if I miss the plane? What if the tow truck doesn't arrive and a million other thoughts? And Cindy just sat there quietly looking at me doing this. She didn't have to say a word. Why then, as a solid Christian man, didn't I just say, God, I'll trust whatever the outcome is, and make my first reaction to ask my traveling partners to join me in a quick prayer? Why didn't I do that? The answer is simple. Because of my unbelief, my lack of spiritual maturity. That's why, and like it or not, unbelief is sin. Unbelief is sin. This story teaches us something else. Storms teach us about ourselves. Trials are good because you can grow if you let them. Romans 8:28, 29, you're all familiar. And we know that for those who love God, all things, even trials, work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. But the best part is the line that follows. And I like this line. And I use this a lot in biblical counseling to myself when I'm talking with a counselee, but I'll say the best part is this, that God says, trials help us to be conformed into the image of Christ. Trials help us to be conformed into the image of Christ. That's important. That's the path I wish I could be on more often. Looking at the disciples, did they honor God by their lack of faith in Jesus? The answer is no. No, they didn't. Looking at my actions on the side of the 401, did my actions and my faith honor God? No. No, they didn't. What does the trial, what does this trial the disciples faced or the one that I faced remind us? It reminds us of this, that we are small and God is big. We are small, God is big. That each of us is completely unworthy of God's scandalous grace and mercy. Yet He loves us so much that when we turn to Him, when we repent from our sin, He blesses us each and every time. So what was the blessing for the disciples? Well, Jesus showed the disciples once again that He was God, and He calmed the storm and He saved them from their fear. What was the blessing for me on the side of the road? It wasn't getting to the airport and that it ended happily. Mm-mm. The blessing was that I realized I was a sinner who failed to depend and lean in on God. That's a huge lesson to me, and it's a huge lesson that we can all benefit from, and that I have room to grow. The blessing to me was that I failed to point my family to Christ at a time when I could have easily done so, but my pride got in the way. Time for a heart check. The blessing to me was the forgiveness I received from God when I repented of my sinful action, and the blessing I received from my wife, my son, and my daughter-in-law when I apologized for not showing them the light of Christ in my own personal storm, and then their forgiveness, that sweet forgiveness. It was a reminder to me to keep my eyes on eternal things and not worldly matters so that I can readily see God on the other side. That small, insignificant trial was a huge reminder to me that, like Paul, when he says in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This story is a reminder to each one of us of God's amazing power and His strength and the fact that nothing catches Him by surprise. Nothing catches God by surprise. It's a reminder to us that, like the disciples who thought they knew Jesus, we haven't seen anything yet. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. The best is yet to come. That's our faith. There's no way for us as human beings to fully be able to imagine the awesomeness of God, though we try. God can calm the sea. He can calm the fear in each one of us if we let Him. If we let Him do His will and humble ourselves once and for all. Friends, there's a lot of fear and anxiety these days. There's a lot of bitterness out there, anger, resentment, and those pointy fingers everywhere you look. What's your storm? What's your storm today? What did you bring into this hospital for sinners today? Is it the pandemic? Is it deciding whether to mask or not to mask, to vax or not vax? Perhaps it's some bad news you heard, marriage trouble, a failed relationship, or job loss, or just maybe the cost of fuel. There's so many worldly things in the big picture of eternity that don't matter a rip. They don't matter. So every story has to have a right hook. And when I was preparing my message, I thought to myself, what is my right hook going to be for this sermon? This small little story about some guys who got caught in a storm and Jesus said to the sea, be still, and it calmed down. What would my right hook look like? The truth is, I don't have one, but God does. God's got a right hook. You see, loved ones, you're either freshly out of a storm, you're in the middle of one, or heading into one. That's the reality of our broken and fallen and sinful world. Everyone, unless you have a Facebook page to hide behind, has trials to wade through. You ever notice on Facebook everybody looks so darn happy? Wow, everybody's smiling and cheerful. It's like, I want that family. But everybody's just hiding behind that. Don't think for a second that you're alone with a trial. Sisters and brothers, we are those other boats at sea. We are all in life together, all on a journey to the other side. Every trial grows our character and gently but steadily helps to conform each one of us into the image of Jesus Christ. But here's the best part. Here's the best part yet, and it's not that we're going to the other side. It's that God is waiting for us on the other side. That's the good news. God is waiting for us on the other side. Next slide, Mary, please. We need to see the storms of life as an opportunity for God to display who He is. And we need to grow our faith in Him each and every day. Each and every day. When you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person that walked in. That's what the storm is all about. That's why I suspect Paul welcomed trials, because he knew he would grow from them. You'll see Jesus differently. More importantly, you'll see yourself differently. There's some things you can only learn in a storm, too. So learn them. Not all storms come to disrupt our life. Some come to clear a path. Some storms help you to see some things more clearly. But remember, loved ones, our unbelief is sin, and sin has made us a fearful people. Even when Christ had stilled the waters and He had miraculously restored the calm, the disciples were then afraid again. They questioned Jesus' identity, wondering, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? God's right hook for today's message is this, and I'm almost done. I know some of you are going, whew, this is a long one. It's this: regardless of the storms that we encounter in this life, we need to keep our focus on our gracious God who is waiting for us on the other side. Regardless of the storm, keep your focus on God. John Calvin sums up what I've tried to share this morning so eloquently when he said this: no matter how troubled we might be, that in no way changes Jesus' love for us or our security in His salvation. To say it another way, God's love doesn't waver, even when our faith does. Faith is trusting Christ instead of trusting ourselves to trust Christ. Isn't that interesting? I'll repeat that. Faith is trusting Christ instead of trusting ourselves to trust Christ. There's a huge difference between the two, and it's this. And I'll leave you with this. One looks upward, the other looks inward. Let's all continue to look upward and remember that God is God and we are not. We are not. Just let me pray as the worship band will come forward, and I just take a moment to pray. Father God, I thank You for your holy word and your scandalous mercy, grace and love that You have for us. In all trials, help us to remember that You are always there waiting for us on the other side. Strengthen our resolve to pray and to reach out to You at the beginning, the middle, and the end of every circumstance, be it good or bad. Help us to remember that you are God and we are not. Thank you for this church and for the community of believers we call brothers and sisters to do life with. Let us come together often to give you praise, glory, and thanks in all things, and may grace and mercy and peace from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be the abiding portion of each one today and forevermore. Let us go in peace to love and to serve our beautiful God. Amen.